Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming tonight to this ceremony for Lala Samayi. Although we had the official funeral on Monday, not all the devotees were able to come, especially some of the more, I could say, important persons who knew Lala Samayi very well. So we wanted to hold another, not exactly a ceremony, but more to have some remembrances of Lala Samayi, to glorify her, to honor her, and to include all of those who weren't able to be here on Monday, last Monday, for whatever reason. So we'll be telling some personal stories about our experiences with Lala Samayi. Some devotees who were here when she came to Radhadesh will also be speaking, but some others who know her also for a shorter time. We'll also be saying a few words about this important topic of leaving this world, something that we're all going to have to do. So we thought this was a good opportunity to talk about that a little bit and to thank those who took care of Lalasa, especially in her final years. I'm going to do that a little bit later because one of the people I want to thank is not here. So I'm going to wait. It's Ashoka. So I'll wait to do that for later. So I'm going to ask Jayabhadra Mataji to start.
We may go a little over, so the Artik may start, but we may just keep on talking for some time. We don't want to cut off anyone. We'll see how it goes. Some time ago, I was reading a book about lady saints, Christian saints, and about their lives and also about their deaths. And one of the authors made a comment that during medieval times, people liked to hear about a good death. A little bit macabre, but we also like to hear about a good death. And in hearing about the passing away of Lala Samayi, we understand something about what a good death is. She lived a very good life. She was a woman that was very much in goodness. All the qualities of goodness, determination, enthusiasm, patience, clarity. She was very simple, clear, and straightforward in her practice of Krishna consciousness. And when she came to the movement, she was finished with material life. And you could see in her house, everything was geared to Krishna consciousness. There was no Maya there. Nothing of the sort, as Prabhupada would say. And although she lived a very quiet life and we didn't hear a whole lot about Lala Samayi, Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, a person may be glorified truly or falsely and he'll become famous. But the persons who should be the most famous because they've made the perfection of their human form of life may not be glorified around the world. But for the Vaishnavas, we know. And we all desire to be able to leave our body. Well, first of all, to be able to live in such a pure and Krishna conscious manner as Lala Samayi did, and in the end be able to take shelter of Krishna the way that she did and the way that Krishna facilitated her departure with loving Vaishnavas, chanting the holy name, personally counseling her. Jadarani did a wonderful job of counseling her in her last couple of days, and she will tell you something about that later. It was simply glorious how Lala Samayi was responding. And when I was thinking about her departure, I was quite accelerated because she made it. She did what we all want to do. We all want to be able to leave our body surrounded by devotees, chanting the holy name, and in consciousness. She said, I want to go back home now. And within a very short time, she did go. And when I was reflecting on her departure, I thought of a song that I heard as one of the songs I grew up on in Krishna consciousness. And I would like to share that with you. I have a recording of it here. It's the old-fashioned tape recording type because this song is old and we don't necessarily have it on MP3 anymore. But I'd like someone to pass out these song sheets and we can hear something about the departure of Lala Samayi and something that we can hope to emulate. You can give half to the Prabhus. Okay, good. Thank you.
Stress, gentle rain of happiness. the soul beyond the strife. A starry night and cool death for those who give their living breath. Upon their lips the holy name, praise of He who came. To them a store of bliss is known, and hidden worlds to them are shown. Where love supreme fills every eye, sweet jubilation fills the sky. Dancing milkmaids and cowherd boys play in the forest green with joy. Of veil and gem,
that was really beautiful. Who, I didn't catch who the singer was. Mangalananda. Michael Cassidy. Very beautiful. It's the bhajans of the 21st century. Before we hear from our next speaker, Ashoka Devi Dasi, I'd just like to say a few words to thank. Sometimes when I have to speak in front of a group of people, my mind goes blank. I'd just like to read something. I read this on last Monday, but I'd like to read it again. In the final years before, well, especially in the final few months, many devotees have been involved or had been involved in helping taking care of Lala Samai. I was helping a little bit personally. On my computer, I had a reminder on my calendar. Every Friday, it told me twice to cook for Lala Samai. And it's a repeating one. It's one of these things you can tell it to. So after she left, with great sorrow, I had to delete it as a thing to do. It felt very bad to do that. And that started around, I was checking back, it started around June, that little message, just to remind me so I didn't forget. But there were many devotees involved. I won't be able to mention everybody because I don't know who everybody was. Mangala Chandrika would know because she was helping to organize the list of people who were helping in the last few months. In Lala Samai's final years, she became quite frail, and there were many devotees there who were helping take care. But previously to that, there were a few devotees who were helping to take care, and particularly Ashoka Mataji, who's a great friend of Lala Samai. She's going to hate this, so I have to you have to excuse me. It's my duty, so please forgive me for doing my duty. But Ashoka has known Lala Samai, let me get that right, since you came to Radhadesh. And Rupa Manjari said that since you came, you've been taking care. You've always been around and keeping an eye and helping with laundry and shopping. And so that's since 1989. Personally, I would really like to thank you for doing that. I wasn't aware that you were doing that. And thank you so much for taking care so nicely of her. Ashoka is also a trained nurse, so that was that's very helpful. I also have Bhagavati, who's also had some nursing training, so we're very fortunate to have that professional help. Others who helped through Lala Samai's time here, but especially in the final months, were Vinod Manjari Mataji, who is also a very close friend of Lalasa. Thank you very much. Nikunja, you've known her for a long time, so I've been around. Amrita Vani and Yanandre Prabhu's Mataji, they were here because they live in the same house as Lala Samai, so they're always going in and out every day. Then there's Bhagavati Devi Dasi, who is helping with Lala, especially with personal services, cleaning and so on. When we leave, we're not always able to do these, or when we're getting old, we're not always able to do this. So to be able to offer personal services with some Krishna consciousness and some dignity is very, very valuable. So is it Radhanath Maharaj who said we have to be careful to be nice to all the devotees because we don't know who's going to be taking care of us when we die? And when you're dying, you can't say no. You can't say, don't do that, I don't like, or I don't like the way you're doing that. You can't move, you can't talk, you can barely breathe. So anyway, it's a sobering thought for me. I was thinking of the particular people I need to go and talk to about that, just in case. Because we never know, you know. We never know who it's going to be. And also because our older, I mean, Ashoka and Bhagavati, they're older than many of the devotees here. So they may not be here when we leave. So the younger ones, they're very sweet. Huh? They're very, very sweet ladies. Also for the men, huh? We need some men to take care of the men. So it's actually quite a big service and it takes a lot of thought, a lot of effort, a lot of organization to do that. And I must say Ashoka did a beautiful job. Behind the scenes, nobody would know. We're just taking care, especially in the last couple of weeks, it was quite intense. I mean, what I heard, you were in and out 10 times a day, checking medicine, everything. So, and many other devotees also there. Mandira Devi Dasi, a friend of Lalasa, who's been going to see her for one time, I think, every day, reading, years. Lalasa Mahi was a great reader. She loved reading. She was always, one time I went to read for her and she couldn't understand a word that I said. But she was totally absorbed. I just give you the book, you know, but she wasn't. She was always very happy to hear. Mangala Chandrika, unfortunately she's not here, but she was helping organize schedules. So that was a wonderful service. If somebody can't do something personally, but they're good at organization, that's a wonderful service. Shamalika, of course, and Namakrishna, who were also neighbors and helping with different things. I'm going in alphabetical order, so the last one's Yadurani. Rasagyar, many people were cooking and doing things. So yeah, Rasagyar and Stoka Krishna, Surya Kanya, they're also helping cooking. So. Lala Samai liked healthy food, so she was very happy with the boiled vegetables and boiled rice. She liked that, so something nice and simple. There were others. I'm afraid I don't know everybody. So if you were doing something or you know somebody who was doing something, you can also thank them. We can have them in our thoughts. Huh? Helena also? Yeah, Helena was going. Manasi Ganga? Yeah, she would be doing. Manasi Ganga loves cooking. So thank you all for your wonderful service in taking care of Lala Samayi. As we'll hear, Lala Samayi was a very special Vaishnavi. She wasn't an ordinary Vaishnavi. A very simple person, a very humble person, but not ordinary. And we also aspire, I mean, I personally aspire also not to be ordinary. I am ordinary, but I aspire not to stay ordinary. So now I'd like to invite Ashoka to speak. Ashoka doesn't like to speak. You may never have heard her speak before. So we're very honored tonight to have her say a few words. You can speak as long as you like. We have time. So as short or as long you're no problem. Not too short, please.
Okay. So I have been asked to speak about my relationship with Lala Samayi, and I had to write something down because that at least gives me some guidance in how I'm going to perform here. So I hope you don't mind that. I joined in 1989, and then Mother Lala Samayi was still living in the ashram. She was going out on Sankirtan every day, so I didn't see her much. She was like this mystical devotee who was living in the room downstairs, which I had never seen. The day she moved out, her things were in the corridor, and she was busy with her move to the apartment on the other side of the street, and I got to know her and I got to talk to her. And very soon after, I went to her place for a visit. I can't exactly remember why did I go. Probably it was something like that I needed a sewing machine or whatever, and she had one. So I went over, and then I started to see her very often and regularly. She was always enthusiastic. She was always happy to see me and to receive me. And when I was going to have my service in the boutique in 1990, then she was going out on Sankirtan 2 or 3 days a week together with Mother Vinod. And the other days, when she would not go on Sankirtan, she would come to the boutique to help me with all kind of things like dusting or arranging or filling up the shelves. And when I was going to do the Gurukul in September 1990, then she would help me also with all kind of things. Like she would knit the slofjes for the children. I would make dolls, and she would dress them. She would be knitting underwears and socks, and she would be sewing outfits, Punjabi outfits and sari and kurta and dhoti for the boys and the boy dolls, and 2 sets for everybody. That was very beautiful. She was very, very handy and qualified. After the Gurukul, each day I would go to see her, and we would work together for a few hours, and we would eat something together, and I would go back to the ashram. And that, for many years, continued like that. So then I told her one day, you know, are you not getting sick and tired of me? I said, then you should kick me out. But she never did. We would talk about all kind of things. And for me, I saw her as a grandmother. She was trustworthy, and she was very confidential. And I liked that because I could speak my mind, and I could pour my heart out, and I knew that it would not go anywhere. You know, it would stay with her. You know, she would not talk about it. She would not gossip. She would, you know, that was just like a dead end. She has been crossed with me once. In 20 years, that's not much. The reason for that was, you know, one day she would come up to me in the playground the children were playing outside, I was outside, and the way she was walking, I could see that she was on a mission. And I was wondering and expecting, you know, what is going to come. And she came to me and she said, Ashoka, can you promise me that if ever something happens to me, that you make sure that I don't go to the hospital? And I think I was like 3 years a devotee, you know. And I was baffled, to say the least. I answered, you know, I said, Lala Samaya, I cannot promise you that because that's not in my power. You know, the family will decide. And then she said, okay, if you don't want to help, then not. And she walked out on me. And I was like, because, you know, this was not Lala Samaya at all. But I understood that this behavior all came out of her anxiety. She was afraid of the hospital. She was afraid what was going to happen with her if she once would be hospitalized. And in the evening I went to her and we talked about it at length. And then I told her, I said, I promise you that if anything happens to you, I will mention to your family. I will insist on your family what your wishes are. But more, my power does not go. She reluctantly, she agreed, and, you know, and that was it. But that's like, I think at least it's like 17 years ago that we had that discussion. So she was ready to go already at that time. And we talked about it many times because I asked her, when you leave your body, then you want to be cremated. Where do you want your ashes to go? And we talked about it. But it would take many years before it actually, you know, came to happen. When I would go traveling on trips for more than 3 weeks or longer, I would always be in anxiety because there were no computers at that time. And I was always afraid that I would be, you know, have the surprise of coming back from traveling, that she was not there anymore. And but she was always there, you know, right when I would come back. Almost my first walk would go to Lala Samaya and to see her. And she would open the door. She would always be happy with her arms wide open, embracing me and give me kisses on the cheek. And not just one, but like a whole riddle, you know, like music, you know. And calling out Ashoka, and you know, she would say that she missed me, or, you know, she would always be interested in everything, what was happening in the temple or in my life with my family. And she was, you know, besides herself when she heard that I got married and that I was going to be pregnant. And, you know, she very much was part of my life. And a few years ago she wrote me a letter after I made a birthday gift for her. And I will not sport your mind too much with everything she wrote about my abilities and good qualities, but on the end she said, your qualities are one of a Vaisnava. And with a Vaisnavi like that, I want to associate for many years to come and in many lives after that. Your friend in Krishna consciousness, Lala Samaya. I was amazed because she was a woman of little words. You know, she was not talking much. She was listening and she shared, could I have some water, Kanchana Vali? Because I have a very sore throat. And this, you know, this letter for me was a big surprise. Oh, thank you. And then the next day when I saw her, I said to her, "My goodness, Lala Samai, what a letter!" And then she said, "Yeah, isn't it? The truth should be said at least once." She was very pleased with it, because so then when she fell at the road in 2008, Jan André came to my house to get me and to tell me that Lala Samai had fallen down and that it did not look so good. So when I came in her apartment, Gauravani was sitting there, because Gauravani had met her on the road and brought her back to the apartment, and was sitting on the floor with her. And Lala Samai was like hanging on the couch. And my first thought was, okay, this is it. You know, she is going to leave her body. She was unconscious. Her wrist was zigzagged. The nose was crooked. She had blood all over, and you know, her mouth was hanging. Saliva was coming out, and she was unconscious. So I sat next to her and I stroked her hand and her cheeks, and I told her, I called her name, and I said who I was, and I started chanting in her ear. And then after a moment, suddenly a shock went through her body. There was like a gasp of air, and she opened her eyes. And my first thought was, oh goodness, she's back. You know, it was like, you know. So then I started to talk with her, and you know, and she hardly could answer. The doctor came and everything. She went to the hospital. And then the next day, I went together with Mother Mandira to the hospital, and she was in the bed, and she looked like a small, fragile woman. And when she saw us, she said, "Oh, how did you find me? I thought you would never be able to find me in here." I said, "Well, don't worry, Lala. So we just call your name at the reception, and they say, go there and there, and I found you, you know." She was very happy, because I think she had this idea of, once you get in the hospital, you never get out, and you are forgotten by everybody, because nobody can find you, you know. So the year that followed after was very intense, because Lala Samai had to adjust a lot her ways and her habits and her usual things. You know, she wanted to, you know, for example, to hang her laundry the way she always did it, which was up the hill behind the house of Shamalika, you know, outside. And I told her at a certain point, "You cannot do that anymore, Lala Samai. You cannot go with a laundry basket all the way up the hill, hang the laundry." And then she said, "Yeah, but it's nice, and laundry dried outside, and you know." So I said, "Okay, come, we go." Yeah, and before she used to go through the window, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. On the chair, on the kitchen table, on the windowsill, and the window was very narrow, so wiggling out, you know, and then the laundry basket out, and she would hang the laundry. And then I told her also, and I said, "And not through the window anymore, that's finished." That she understood, but still she wanted to go out. So I said, "Okay, come, then we go." So we went out, of course without laundry. So we did the walk all the way up, and she was up, and she said, "No, this will not work anymore." She realized, you know, "Oh no, this will not work." I said, "We find another solution, you know." So I bought her a different drying rack. She could put it, all the laundry inside, and just put it outside in front of the door, outside, you know. So she was happy with that, all practical arrangements, and which would be close to the way she used to do things. So it was very difficult for her, but she adjusted also, because she could understand that you know, that it was not the same anymore than after her fall. So I would come every day to Srila Lassamayi, sometimes two times a day. And right after bringing Sushila to school, so 9 o'clock I was at the doorstep. And sometimes she would be in bed, sometimes in pajamas, sometimes she was ready, sometimes not. And, you know, but I would see her every day. I would do the shopping or things what was needed, laundry, or once a week I would give her a shower and wash hair and, you know. And she didn't mind it. And then I would cut her nails because she couldn't do it anymore because her hands were like paralyzed and, you know. And, you know, at a certain point I was thinking, oh, you know, she must feel awkward. And then I was cutting her nails. And then I said, okay, so what about the feet? Oh, very good, she said. And she put the foot out on the desk, like, you know. So, like, okay, here you have it. Please do it, you know, because I can do it. So, you know, so there was no. How you say that? Like shame or that she was like, you know, feeling bad about it. Or no, it was just, you know, that had to be done, and she surrendered. So, you know, every day when I would come to visit, she would say, "Oh, what is the news?" And then I said, "The news? I don't have any news." And then she said, "No news?" So she was very, like, she wanted to be up to date because she would not come outside so much anymore. And, you know, but she wanted to be updated, and she wanted to know what was going on with the devotees, with the community. So then when I had no news, then she would want to know everything about me, about my family, where is Mahaprabhu, you know, what is he doing, when is he going away, when is he coming back. And, you know, so we would talk about things like that. And she was very present. That year we talked about many things, about wishes, about cremation, about her will, about certain things, what she possessed, what had to go where, what she wanted with her ashes, and things, just to make sure that I had it all right. And I would never push her if she had to think about things, because Lala Samaya was very much a person who worried, you know, worried in her mind and be anxious, and, you know, and then I would just launch a topic and I would just say, anyway, Lala Samaya, just think about it, you know, and in a few days we can discuss it further. So then she would always come back upon the topic. She would never forget, like, you know, she would always come back on the topic. She had a lot of trust also in me, and she was appreciating very much what all the devotees were doing for her. She was thanking me all the time, and so at one morning when I was there, she said to me, "I want to go with you to the boutique." I said, "To the boutique?" I said, "What do you need?" And then she said, "I want to buy you a gift." I said, "Oh, Lala Samaya, give me a break. I have a whole house full of things. Don't buy me anything, you know." But she was insisting, and I rarely saw her like that. And I said, "Well, no, I don't want. You don't, yeah, but you do so much for me. I appreciate it so much." And I said, "But you don't have to buy anything for me, because, you know, I do it with, you know, all my heart, and I don't mind." And, you know, but she was insisting. And then, you know, when I was pausing a little bit, I was thinking, you know, she just wants to do something back for me, and this is her way of doing something for me, or showing her appreciation for me. And then I said, okay, we will do that sometime. I said, "When do you want to go?" She says, "Right now." So I said, okay, we went right now, and we went to the boutique, and she bought me a ring. And now, actually, you know, I'm very happy with that, you know, because it's a very, you know how you say, you know, very personal gift, and very cherishable. And you know, I am happy that she was so persistent, and I'm grateful for that. 3 weeks before she left her body, we had many sweet moments, and I would try to cheer her up a little bit, and I would make jokes, and she would laugh, and I would say something, and she would agree, and you know, it was very intense. On Friday, the 18th of December, I would go to India, and on Wednesday before that, I was in her house in the morning to give her breakfast, and she was very awake, very clear, and she was eating very good. So I said to her, Lala Samai, we have to talk. And she says, oh, and her eyes became very big. I said, I'm going to India in 2 days for 2 weeks. And I said, all your needs. I told her, all your needs are taken care of, and you don't have to be worrying about anything. And then she nodded, she understood. And then I said, Lala Samai, you have to make me a promise. And she said, yes. And she even didn't know, you know, what I was going to ask of her. I said, Lala Samai, if Krishna comes to get you, then don't wait for me. I said, you promise me that. And then she said, yes. So actually, you know, all this anxiety which I had for many years, that she would be passing when I was not there, actually happened, because I was not there. But I also realized that probably Lala Samai, she was in good hands, and probably Krishna made the situation like that, that I was not there, because I think it made it more easy for both of us. And so I don't feel upset with it, or you know, I just accept that it went the way it went. And Lala Samai, she meant the world to me. Getting to know her so early in my spiritual life, and living in the community, which was a new thing for me as well, made it so much easier for me. She was there, became a very dear friend, and a person who had so much affection for me. I will miss her, and I am grateful for my 20 years with her. And I will cherish the memories of Mother Lala Samai. That's it.
Ashoka, thank you. The Lala Samai ki, Mother Ashoka ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.